You may be seated. What is the essence of the Lord's table that we partake of this morning? As we prepare to take of it, what are we to know about this table? What do we learn here about the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship to Him? The answer to all those questions are found in the passage from the Apocalypse. We're taking our passage from today, Revelation 5, or 1, 5e through 6. I don't know if you're used to that notation or not, but if you want to break down a specific part of a verse, you break the verse up into its commas and periods and do A, B, C, D, and E, and this has that many sections in it, or, you know, to divide it up that way. And the sermon outline is very simple. Each phrase in these verses is a part of these two verses is part of the outline. We're going to take a look at to Him and take a look at who loved us and washed us from our sins in His blood. And then we're going to look at and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. And then closing with the last point, to Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. The first point is to Him. To Him. And the context, to Him, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the passage is to Him. The essence of the Lord's Supper is Him, is Jesus. This meal focuses our faith and our thoughts on the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, Jesus is to be the focus of our whole life, if we are in Him and He is in us. And the Lord's Supper helps us to reset our focus in life. We get distracted by so many things. Ever see the horses, especially those that are in downtown city areas where you can take a tour of the city and the wagon and the horse? They got them in New York City. They have them in Philadelphia Historic District. And you'll see what they have for horses is blinders. Blinders so that the horses don't get distracted by other things and maybe end up getting scared and running away. Well, you and I are like horses. We get distracted by a lot of things that we shouldn't be, and they scare us. And we need to have the blinders on, and we need to focus straight ahead. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, to Him. And that's what this meal does. It resets our focus so that we are no longer self-centered, but God-centered. So that we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for the Lord. That we are no longer charmed by the glitter of this world, but rather by the spiritual realities. We are to set our minds on the things above and not on things on this earth, Colossians 3:2 tells us. And the resetting of our mind and the continual resetting of our mind is an essential part of our transformation that must happen if we're going to grow in our new life. See, as your computer needs to be rebooted, Marilyn tried to get in Quicken, and she was getting frustrated, you know, that she couldn't get in Quicken. And so I just rebooted the computer, and then she could get in Quicken. That's the way it is in our life, too. We need to reboot sometimes. We get stuck. Things aren't working well. And we reboot by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and getting a focus on Him again in our lives and not distracted by the things that change our focus. Our focus must change from ourself and our desires to Jesus and His will. This communion table is the center position in the sanctuary. Everything's around this. I'm on one side of it, you're on the other side of it. The whole church is centered around always, whether we're doing the Lord's Supper or not, around this communion table, this communion in Christ. So Jesus is to be in the center position of all and all our life at all times. Our life will be miserable if we make ourselves the focus of living. Our life will grow and mature if Jesus and his teachings are at the center of our life. To him, and as the anticipating the last phrase, to him be the glory. Now we may always say, I hope, in our lives, to him. And if you're not saying to him in your life regularly, today is the day to get that focus. And to get that focus anew, to have it reset again. And then he continues, to him what? To him who loved us. This table is not just about Jesus. This table is about Jesus' love for us. This table is called in Jude 12 the love feast. This is the feast of love. We feast on the love of Christ as we come to the communion meal. The elements of this table, the bread and cup, tell us of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God demonstrates his own love towards us, Romans 5:8 says, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, sinner, and I speak to myself as well as to you. Oh, sinner, this meal demonstrates God's love to you. While sinners, Jesus died for us. There's nothing that we can do to come and prepare ourselves before the Lord. He came to save the lost, and he receives us as we are. While we were sinners, he died for us. While we were lost, he came to save us. And the bread represents the body of Christ, which was put to death on the cross, and the cup, the shedding of his blood, that we might have remission of sin. All a demonstration of love. Do we see this when we come to the table? This bread is love. This cup is love. The love of God to us in Christ Jesus. The supper, the elements of the supper, along with baptism, are the only visible signs to remind us of God's love in Jesus Christ. And we partake of these today as the authorized demonstration of Jesus' love for us in worship. When we doubt God's love for us and Jesus' love for us, when things are not going well in our life and we wonder how we're going to make out the day, we wonder if our marriage is going to make it. We wonder if we're going to stay in our house. We wonder if we're going to have enough food for the next day. When we wonder where is God, here is the powerful reminder in time, place, history that God loves us. Things were not going well for Jesus on that day that he was crucified either. All his friends turned away from him and he was alone. And all the power of Jewish and Roman authority were falling upon him. He even prayed in the garden, as we might sometimes pray, Lord, why do you not take this from me? But not my will be done, your will be done. Jesus submitted to the will of his Father, the only way. And his submission to bearing our sins shows his great love. When you wonder where God's love is, fix your eyes on Jesus and the cross. Fix your eyes on the communion table. And if this had been all that God would have done for us in his love, that would have been enough. But he does so much more too. Jesus can sympathize with your pains because he had pains for us. And he shows through his pains that he loves us. The depth of his love is indeed in this meal. You know, when you think that Jesus voluntarily gave up his life, he says, no one takes my life from me. I give my life up and I take it back again. That the only thing that held Jesus to the cross, besides obedience to the Father's will, was his love for you and me. He could have jumped off that cross any time, and he could have called to the armies of heaven to destroy his enemies. But he didn't do it. What depth of love. That the human Jesus, as well as the divine Jesus, but the human Jesus suffered as you and I suffer to a greater extent than even we would suffer, because he loves us. When you're in despair, when things aren't working out, when you wonder where God's love is, it's in time, place, history. It's in Jesus' work on the cross for you and me. As that hymn says, oh, how he loves you and me. Have you received and do you know the love of Christ for you? You may do so by faith, by looking at the Savior. To him who loves us and now and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The essence of this table is not just Jesus, and it's not just Jesus' love towards us. It's the washing of our sins by his blood. The essence of it is something that he accomplished in his loving sacrifice for us. Many acts of love are sentimental. Our many expressions of love are sentimentality. They don't really do anything for the person loved. And much of worldly love is emotional sentimentality that is fickle and doesn't last. Jesus' love on the cross is not the sentimental love of this world, but is the nobler and godly kind. His love accomplished something. It wasn't mere feeling. It was an act of sacrificial dedication for us. He took upon himself our sins that we might be freed from their penalty, and rose again that we might be freed from their power. Jesus presented himself at the judgment seat of God as a sacrifice to satisfy his wrath against us. That's what that word propitiation means. Just to satisfy God's wrath, that we might be accepted again in his sight. That's what this meal is about. Jesus' sacrifice, that we might be acceptable to God as we repent of our sins and trust in that blood. His shed blood takes away all our sins, and it takes away all God's anger against our sin. He stood in our place condemned so that we might now be the beloved children of God. His love is not fickle. It is lasting. It is not sentimentality. It is a deed of sacrifice. And it is not until we fall under the Holy Spirit conviction of the enormity of our sin before God and the stains that can't be removed no matter what we do, that we can begin to understand the great love of Christ and the wonderfulness of being washed from our sins by his blood. This supper gives us grace as we meditate upon these things. As we rightly see here, the sacrifice, the sacrificial love of Christ, to be empowered to love him in turn, to forsake and find forgiveness for our sins, no matter how great they are, and to live for him who died for us. Do you know this morning that your sins are washed away? Are you trusting in Christ and Christ alone? Do you understand that through Jesus' death and resurrection, sins have no more power over us? You may know this fully as you look to Jesus alone to wash you from your sins and empower you to live a new life in Christ. The next phrase, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. Ever think you were a king? Ever think you were a priest? Here we Because of what Jesus did, we become kings and priests. We have a new way to think about ourselves. We're no longer sinners. We're kings and priests. In the Old Testament, the priesthood was inherited through a certain family line through their males. Now in Christ Jesus, that priesthood, which was temporary, has been done away with and replaced by the priesthood of Melchizedek. The priests and animal sacrifices were merely types and shadows of the great priesthood to come. This is very clearly revealed in the book of Hebrews. And Jesus is our only high priest today. Jesus is our only mediator and intercessor this morning. He is the only sacrifice. Also in the Old Testament, there was a kingdom. The kingdom was an earthly kingdom, inhabited by the children of Abraham, or those who converted to become children of Abraham. It had laws, it had army, it had a human throne. But now, the kingdom is a spiritual nation made up of all those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus is on his throne in heaven. We are his nation. And we are fighting with spiritual weapons, the battle we face every day in this world. We who are in Christ are now, therefore, a spiritual kingdom. We are a spiritual priesthood. Jesus' kingdom is where he rules, and his kingdom rules in our hearts. We are a priesthood. We are the spiritual temple of God, and we are the holy holies where God's Shekinah glory dwells in us. If we dwell in him. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3:16 from 1 Corinthians and 6:16 from 2 Corinthians make this very clear. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the place where the Holy Spirit dwells. We are the building. We are building the kingdom of God, and we are ministering saving truths of the kingdom through Christ. As priests, we live for Christ and witness for him in this world. We conquer this world one soul at a time. We're not going to conquer this world through political movements. We're not going to conquer this world through armies. We're not going to conquer this world through material gain. We conquer this world one heart at a time, as people hear the claims of Christ and bow their hearts to him. That is the power we still have for victory. No matter how things look in this age, that is still the power of the gospel. Rome was taken one heart at a time by a church that went out and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and sharing Jesus Christ with the world around them. And that is still our strength, and that is still how we'll get victory in the present age as a spiritual kingdom of priests. We serve his kingdom, and we minister his gospel. And he must come to victory. This is the work that's laid out for us to do. And God has gifted pastors and teachers and evangelists to equip us all for the work of ministry, to train us that we might be doing it. And this is to be the result of the Lord's Supper in our lives, that we are kings and priests. So when we leave here today, no matter how defeated we've been in the past week, may we understand we're kings and priests and live up to those titles that have been given to us. And the last phrase, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What else can be said in response to all this that's been said? To the one who loves us, washed us from sin, made us a kingdom and priest, to him be the glory and dominion always. As the hymn says, all hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Another hymn that we sung earlier, to God be the glory, great things he has done, so love thee the world that he gave us his son. As we partake of this meal, the essence of it is to bring about a certain attitude in our lives. It is that we, in this meal and in our lives, having partaken of it, give glory to God and live for His dominion in our lives. Though this dominion will fully be manifested in the new heavens and the new earth, it is also a reality now. So let us partake in humble adoration, giving glory to the one represented in this meal and submitting to His rule in our lives. And as it ends, amen. And that was interesting that in the bulletin today, we had a definition of what amen means. Amen means. So let us prepare to partake of the table as the elders come forward to help distribute the elements.